Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic are with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have John Glennon from the Nashville Post coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that discussion with him. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the Titans draft Will Levis in the second round, 33 overall. And part of what we brought up yesterday is, what does this mean for the short term for the Titans? We know what it means for the long term. Will Levis is going to be, quote unquote, the quarterback of the future. And we'll see how that goes, whether that works out for the Titans or whether it doesn't. And here in the next 3 or 4 years, you're back to square one looking for a quarterback. But what about next year? What about as the Titans prepare for the 2023 NFL season coming up? What does this mean for this group right now? And what does this mean specifically for Ryan Tannehill? Is it as simple as Will Levis is coming in and he's going to sit behind Tannehill for a year, and then 2024 rolls along and Will Levis is the starting quarterback then? Or could the Titans actually consider going with Will Levis this year in 2023 to begin the 2023 season? And it's a really interesting question to think about, Joe, because as somebody brought up yesterday, it's not a first-round pick, so there's no fifth-year option on Will Levis. To me, I'm not sure that part of it really matters in terms of when you decide to play him. Like, if you played him right now just because there's no fifth-year option and you want to get as much information as you can with the 4 years, is that really serving him well? Like, is he really benefiting from that when it comes to his long-term future in the NFL? I don't know. But I do wonder, like, obviously, as we discussed yesterday, the Titans have been checking around on Ryan Tannehill and kind of gauging what the market could look like for Ryan Tannehill. And the only reason you're doing that, as Charles Robinson brought up last week with us, is if you think there's a chance that you could take a quarterback and that Tannehill could be on the move after that. Now, I still look around the league, Joe, and I say, okay, well, where exactly is Ryan Tannehill going to go via trade? And, you know, people brought up Atlanta already on the text line today. We've had someone bring up Washington today. We had a suggestion on YouTube that the Titans trade Tannehill for Terry McLaurin straight up for Washington, which I don't think the Commanders would do. But, hey, maybe that's a route you could consider if you're the Titans.
So you got to make the call.
Got to make the call.
Make the call.
This is a really interesting situation that the Titans and Ryan Tannehill now find themselves in, Joe, as they prepare for the 2023 season.
Well, those are the – yeah, and those are the two teams, the only two that I could come up with as I went through the quarterbacks. By the way,
San Francisco, still interesting, but yes.
That's true. Yeah. Now, the latest information is that they think Purdy's going to be ready.
Yep.
I mean, Purdy's supposed to be ready in June and all that, and if that's the case, then they got Purdy. Right now they got Lance, and they got Darnold.
Should be in good shape.
Yeah. So – which, by the way, I want to see if you and the listeners agree with my ranking of quarterbacks.
Okay.
I did it really fast, but actually I think it's exactly right. But yeah, I just can't come up with anything else other than those two. Those are the two. Everybody else either has like a good starting quarterback, somebody they're invested in. You know, like right now the Cardinals are invested in Kyler Murray.
Right.
But that may change, but you know, everybody has someone, you know, they're invested in, or they have the young guy who's coming next. And those two teams also technically do. And those are my bottom two starters in the NFL in 2023, which is Desmond Ridder, and then I have to put Sam Howell last, and he right now is Washington's starter. If they don't have an appetite to go through all of that, do they think they're good enough otherwise to make a move and try to get Tannehill? I just would be surprised if Arthur Smith, as much as I think it would help them. I mean, I think Tannehill and that offense, you know, that division, they added some good pieces. I think it could be good, but like, what are you then saying about Desmond Ridder? It so much of that depends on what they actually think about him. It seems like they are behind him.
Well, it does seem that way, and even, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday too. If the Titans go the route of cutting Tannehill, which is the other option beyond trade, that if the Titans were committed said, you know what, Will Levis is going to be our starter in 2023. We're starting it now. We're seeing what it looks like, and we're moving on from Ryan Tannehill. There's a very limited trade market out there, so a cut is the way they end up having to go. Like, I still look at him being cut, and I think to myself, okay, is anybody picking him up at that point to be the starter? I mean, he's a good starting quarterback. I think you and I would both agree there. Like, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. But, like, with the quarterback situations around the rest of the league right now, even if the Titans cut Ryan Tannehill, like, is anybody picking him up to be their starting quarterback? Obviously, things can change when people get hurt. But, like, if everything is equal and everybody's healthy, like, is anybody right now picking him up to be their starting quarterback?
It's a great question. He is, according to me, the number 14 quarterback in the NFL right now. I put him right after Tua. Am I disrespecting Tannehill?
I don't think
so. It's one of those things that would get him doing one-arm push-ups to think about being ranked behind Tua. And I put him just behind Trevor Lawrence, too. That's a great question. I do feel like, if he's out there, that's where – I mean, like, if you're Washington, now you don't even have to give anything up to get him. You know?
Yeah.
Would you do it? Who else out there?
There's one team that's intriguing to me, like, and I don't think they would do it via trade. But if he got cut, I do wonder, like, could Belichick look around and be like, you know what? I don't know that I believe in Mac Jones. We can win with Tannehill. Like, especially in that division when you've got Allen, Tua, and now Rodgers coming in. Like, I'm not saying that Ryan Tannehill is in the same discussion as Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers. But, like, that's the one team that I think, you know, there's all sorts of quarterback noise and rumors coming out of New England right now. If he were cut, could Belichick take a look at him?
Well, there was a lot of smoke going into the draft about everybody be ready
because
Belichick's about to make a move here that tells you what he thinks about Mac Jones. Didn't happen. Don't know if it was actually going to happen or if that was bad smoke. But yeah, that's an interesting one. No doubt. That's an interesting one. And certainly, I would think, I mean, I personally would think that that you'd have a much better chance of winning switching from Mac Jones to Tannehill right now. I mean, significantly. I don't know about much, but yeah, that's certainly an upgrade, right? By the way, I know you want to know, Mac Jones is my, way down. I ranked Mac Jones after Bryce Young.
Bryce Young in the top 10.
Mac Jones is my number 26 quarterback in the NFL right now. One spot after Justin Fields at 25.
Is Bryce Young just slightly behind Mahomes yet, or is he past him?
Hey, he's only 24. Oh, okay. I mean, you can't rank a rookie who hasn't played a snap any higher than 24. I actually ranked him behind Baker Mayfield.
Oh, boy.
Hard to do.
That's another interesting one, like Tampa. They've got Kyle Trask and Mayfield. Like, could they take a look at Tannehill and be interested? Maybe, but like I kind of also feel like the other part of this that's interesting when it comes to like teams like that are kind of on the fringe with their quarterback is how much are they really looking to be competitive this year, and how much do they have maybe their eye toward 2024 in the draft there?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. That's the thing. It's like just like we've talked about here. It's like, well, if Tannehill's your quarterback, you're going to be too good to have a good pick. And that's where Washington to me is absolutely the team who's like, Sam, let's see what we got with you, buddy. Let's just go put our best foot forward, and we're going to draft Caleb Williams first next year, right? I mean, aren't they every other, like, basically, like you said, New England could be that team also. But they're not going to be trash.
No.
You know, they're going to be competitive, decent. So Washington seems like the absolute tank team. And I don't think they're going to be necessarily the only one, but there aren't that many other candidates out there that don't have now, you know, like their quarterback designated. The Texans have designated their quarterback. The Colts have designated their quarterback for the future. So, and I mean, so have the Titans. I mean, unless the Titans are just going to do, okay, third round Willis, second round Levis, first round Williams.
Let's get it.
Will. The triple Will approach. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not going to happen. So I think you're right. I mean, Washington's kind of like, boy, yeah, we're good, man. We're good this year. We'll stick out an awful year and go get Caleb Williams.
Well, and the other part of this discussion is would it actually make sense for the Titans to consider starting Will Levis in 2023? Because to me, like, in order to make this move with Tannehill, that's the conclusion that you've got to come to. And we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
What are you doing with Will Levis with Ryan Tannehill, 35 years old, in the final year of his
career? Yeah, I think both the quarterbacks just talked about, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, it would behoove them to sit back behind a veteran, to get their feet wet, don't force them in too early, and let them learn, because both of them have tremendous ability. But I think him behind Tannehill, give him an opportunity to maybe learn decision-making, because that's an issue with him.
That was Rick Spielman, former NFL general manager, on the CBS Sports podcast discussing Tannehill and Levis. Said it would behoove Levis to sit behind Tannehill and learn at the NFL level for a year. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe Rexroad, we've talked about the Tannehill side of this. Like, if the Titans decide to move on, what's the trade market look like if he's cut? Are there landing spots for him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL? What about it from the Levis point of view? Like, if you're the Titans and you just took him in the second round and you've watched him play at Kentucky at college, you know the physical traits that he brings to the table. We've talked about the S2 score that was high with Will Levis. How much are you considering him being the starting quarterback in 2023 if you're the Tennessee Titans? Joe Rex wrote.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the realistic conversations here, because there are unrealistic conversations out there, which even let's go back to Malik Willis last year. Malik should be the starter over Tannehill right now. You know, he made two good throws in a preseason game. I see some people out there saying, you know, Levis could do what Tannehill does. We all need to agree before we even have this conversation. Will Levis, right at this moment, is way behind Ryan Tannehill and would be much, much worse as a rookie than Ryan Tannehill would be this year, as long as Tannehill's healthy. Can we all agree on that?
Agreed.
If anybody on the text line wants to disagree, you know, then I'll shame you. By the way, speaking of the text line, is Ryan's burner Ricky? Ricky just said, did you say Fields was 25? You would want RT over Fields? Oh, my God, come on now. I'm ranking them right at this moment. You know, given their ages and everything, I mean, that's a different discussion. But ranking the quarterbacks, yeah, Ryan Tannehill is much ahead of Justin Fields. Please stop Ryan from Chicago's burner.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be either.
You've been outed, Ricky. But no, look, I personally think there's a lot of value in Will Levis sitting. I understand, like LD brought up yesterday, you get more value. You don't have the fifth-year option. To me, it's about him being ready to start next year. There are some – look, it appears the Colts are just going to throw Anthony Richardson out there. Just get out there, Anthony. Have all the and you know what? The Colts have that history of Peyton Manning threw 31 picks as a rookie, and he was fine. So I guess you could say there's two trains of thought on that. Go out there. Take all the lumps, make all the mistakes, learn from it, get better from it. You're not going to get better in any other way more quickly than being on the field. Yep. That's one train of thought. The other train of thought is confidence is a very fragile and critical thing in sports, and you'd like your quarterback to be as prepared as possible before he goes out there on Sundays against these defenses. And I think Malik Willis last year is an example of, I don't know how much benefit there is to, you know, going out there, the Titans having to strip down their offense and kind of exposing how far behind he is. So I personally think a redshirt year, if you can do it, is always good. And I think Levis should have that this year.
This is a really interesting test here for the Titans because, as you said, Joe, there are teams that have very differing philosophies on this. And look, there are different quarterback situations, right? Like, we talk about Mahomes. They had Alex Smith, so they had the luxury of saying, Alex Smith is our starter, Mahomes will sit behind him from a year, and then we'll go with Mahomes after that. You know, obviously Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and then Jordan Love. You know, you're sitting, Aaron Rodgers sat behind Favre for 3 years, Love sat behind Rodgers for 3 years. Like, we've seen these things happen in the NFL. Like, this is really the first kind of test case study here for Mike Vrabel as a head coach as to how he's going to handle this. Because, like, even the Willis situation last year, there was never any realistic scenario that Malik Willis was going to be the starter last year. They took a flyer on him in the third round. We knew from the moment he got drafted that he was a project that they were going to have to work with and hopefully develop. And maybe at some point he could be the starter for the Titans. And we talked about even after he got drafted, could that be in 2023? Well, it became pretty clear that he was a long way off and that wasn't going to be the case, all these different things. Like, it's not the same situation with Levis. Levis played in the SEC. He played in an offense that is similar to how the Titans run their offense. You know, he's got physical tools that are NFL ready. And now the question is, when you complete the whole picture, like, is Will Levis ready to go? This is going to be an interesting case study as to how Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon view that. I'm with you. Like, if it were me, I would have him sit and I would have him learn behind Tannehill for a year. And hopefully that would mean that he's ready to go in 2024 and be your starter at that point. Will the Titans view it that way? I don't know. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see how they view that. And if they do view it the same way, like, what does that mean for this year's team with Tannehill and Henry still being here with not much help at wide receiver? You got a good defense. Like, what does it all mean when you factor it together? I'm really interested to see what Mike Vrabel's approach to that is going to be.
And I think with Vrabel, maybe last year, and look, I understand Logan Woodside is not knocking down any doors to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But, I mean, I was poo-pooing, you know, just like John Robinson being fired. Come on. But I was poo-pooing the idea of Willis even being QB2 last year because watching him in camp is like, nah, that's not. And then they did. I'm like, okay. And I think it was a mistake. I mean, I think, and we'll see. We'll see how Willis responds. And maybe it doesn't matter at all, you know. But I just, like, he just wasn't ready to be on the field. Yes, Levis, and that's the argument for the pro play him now people is, like you just said, the scheme. So he's a lot more ready. So that's part of why the Titans are after. The Titans didn't, yes, the scheme translation's great. And you could look at it and say, they took Willis last year. That scheme is not translate well. And, yeah, that's a totally look to the sideline, read half the field stuff, right? So the freeze offense. So this year they go the other way and they take a better scheme fit, right? And that's fine. But that doesn't mean they're doing it just so we can play this year. I mean, to me, what it means is now you have a QB2 this year who, if Tannehill does get hurt again, you actually could run your offense. That's fine. You know, I mean, Levis should be a capable QB2 this year, and that's a good thing. That's an upgrade at QB2. Last year, that was one of their weakest points of their team, and it cost them. But I just, and it, so far on the text line, people seem to agree. It's like the idea of starting him this year. And here's another thing. Like, if you're Mike Vrabel and you've lost 7 straight games and your owner has fired your previous GM partner, just kind of like snapped the fingers and he's gone midseason, you feeling good about a rookie quarterback in a 5-12 season?
I mean, probably not, but then why don't you go draft some wide receivers? You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair. That's fair. But if you play Tannehill and you have Henry, even with the receiver situation, I mean, granted, you're going to need some, you know, you're going to need my new receiver project, Racy McMath, to come through for you. But with this defense, depending on the offensive line, you're not going to be bad, right? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to be bad. I think you're going to be decent.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. I think you're going to be decent, too. And you know what? I've been looking at it like, I think they want to win now. I don't think Levis is going to play. I think it's going to be Tannehill because he's still, like, relatively cheap, and you've already got him under contract. They both said that. So I think they want to win now. I don't think they didn't make any like crazy bold moves. They made like safe moves to barely improve an offense, you know, like nothing crazy. And I like the move. So I feel like if they wanted to tank or if they wanted to take a big risk, they could have easily cut Tannehill and kept Dobbs for what, veteran minimum or whatever the hell that was, because everybody would have been on board with it. He played just as well as Tannehill the last two games. But I think they actually are going to try, because, I mean, it's just us in Jacksonville right now is what it feels like. So I think they're going to try to go for it again this year.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, you know, do they want to win this year? I'm sure that they do. Are they equipped to do so? Like, that's going to be the question. Like, the offensive line has been addressed. Now, has it been properly addressed? That's a different question. We're going to begin to find out the answer to that as training camp rolls around. I feel good about their defense. Now, they also, Joe, as you know, they didn't add any part to their defense in the draft, and they have guys on their defense, specifically at corner, who have been hurt a lot. Now, how can they stay healthy this year? Because if they can't, all of a sudden you look at the depth there and you're like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if they're in a good spot there. You just lost Bud Dupree. You brought in Arden Key. Harold Landry's coming off the ACL. You get one injury there, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't know. I mean, the defense, I feel good about if everybody stays healthy. But staying healthy is going to be really hard, and it's proven to be really difficult for this defense over the past couple of years.
Right. I mean, sure. I mean, there's plenty of reasons that they could be, you know, more in the 7-8 win range and the 9-10 win range. But I think it's somewhere in that. Somehow they find a way. And that's part of that is Vrabel. Vrabel has obviously been very good in the last couple of years at throwing in this guy, throwing in that guy, finding a way, coming up with some plan to somehow, like, lock down Kansas City on a primetime game on the road, et cetera, you know?
Yep.
Like, 7-10. If they're not in the 7-10 range with Tannehill starting, then I'll be shocked. I'll be shocked if it's lower or higher than that. But, yeah, you're right. There's plenty of what if that could still go the wrong way. I feel like there's a lot of assumption about health being better this year. Maybe it won't be. Dennis asks if Tannehill has lingering effects on the ankle. I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think that would be. I think that's just one of those things where you keep playing on it and you're never going to get totally healthy, but I would think he'd be fine.
I think he'll be fine. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Should they actually consider making Will Levis the starter in 2023? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And Mother's Day coming up, and we're here for you here on Robbie and Rex Road. We have your opportunity to win a Moments Piece $100 gift card and to be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card and a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena. Coming up on May 26th, all you have to do is be the first person to answer this trivia question on our text line. Remember, do not call. It is on the text line. And the question is this. Will Levis was at Penn State before he came to Kentucky. What was the name of the quarterback that beat him out for the starting job at Penn State? What was the name of the quarterback that beat him out for the starting job at Penn State? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a Moments Piece $100 gift card and will be qualified to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card and a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May 26th. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Throwing the question out there. Should the Titans actually consider making Will Levis the starting quarterback in 2023? Brandy on the text line says, Titans fans already don't like him. If they throw him and he crashes and burns, the fans will always hate him. This from Brandy on the text line. Chris on Twitter says, I'm all in on a post 6-1 designation for Tannehill's released, talking about June 1st, and starting Levis or Willis all year so that we'll have a chance to draft Williams or May. So Chris already looking ahead to the 2024 quarterback draft and saying, all right, Will Levis, move aside. We'll take Caleb Williams or Drake May.
Ah, the old Fink coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, look, anything's possible. I don't think Vrabel and Carthon are going to be on board with that. I mean, you just drafted Will Levis.
Yeah.
like, Like, I think that we can rule out quarterback next year. I think. I mean, maybe if Levis plays this year and it looks like it did with Willis last year, then maybe just keep drafting quarterbacks, man. But I think at some point you have to draft other things.
Alex from Montreal says, let's be real. The Titans are not competing for the Super Bowl this year. You might as well start all the young guys and get some trade assets if you can. As it stands, the Titans don't have that many picks next year. This from Alex from Montreal on the text line. So going with the, you're not going to compete for a Super Bowl route this year. Let's get rid of Tannehill. And I wonder if Derrick Henry is, like, to me, if you're getting rid of Tannehill, why are you keeping Derrick Henry?
Well, yeah, just because, I mean, Tannehill, we've already talked about the difficulty of moving him and the limited market. It's still a much better market than Henry's market, right? I mean, granted, yes. I'm sure somebody out there would be like, sure, here's a fifth, okay? But even that team is taking on a running back who, granted, he's different than other people, but he's old for a running back. His workload and his production has been very much tied to workload. He is a volume back, and he has a huge number for a running back. So, like, that's why the market is not there for him. So, but yeah, I mean, if you did that, then you could thank for Marv. I mean, to me, it's Marv. Marv is the
star
guy. That's why the culture's Darvin from Marvin. That's why the Colts are starting Anthony Richardson this year from the start, so they can go 3-14 and then get Marvin Harrison Jr. and have all the Harrisons.
Yeah, because the somebody named Harrison in a Colts jersey has not caused enough torment for the Titans, so let's just add another one to it. Be good.
Exactly.
Caleb from Gallatin with an interesting question on the text line. What happens if Malik Willis comes into camp and just balls out and looks like he has starter potential? I know that's very unlikely, but what do you think the Titans would do if that were to happen? This is from Caleb from Gallatin on the text line.
Yeah, well, I wrote about that yesterday along with my absolutely perfect ranking of quarterbacks in the NFL. Just thinking back to last year, I remember Kaharski's headline, and we all wrote some form of this, which is, okay, well, here we go. The, you know, Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback this year, but in 2023, that is set up for Malik Willis to come in and potentially – actually compete with Tannehill for the starting job, which we all laugh at now, right?
Yeah.
What if Willis shows up this week? I think they show up Thursday, and he just blows everybody away. Mastery of the offense. The footwork is perfect, and it's accuracy all the time. He has a big arm. His arm talent is absolutely there. He has athleticism. What if he's just a totally transformed player? Well, I mean, I think the Titans have already moved on. I mean, they've moved on. They're on to Levis. But yep. I'm just saying, we just don't know how things are going to go. And then the other side of that, of course, is I do think Tannehill will start this year. I really don't think that there's a strong consideration to do anything else at this point. What if he's incredible?
Well, I mean, he could be as good as he wants to be. And in my opinion, like, short of a Super Bowl, you drafted Will Levis. Like, Will Levis is going to be the guy. In 2024.
What if he wins a playoff game? You know, not to, you know, they lose a close game in a, and Tannehill plays amazing after winning one playoff game.
Will Levis is the guy.
Okay.
I mean, he's 35 years old. Will Levis is going to be the guy. You just draft him in the second round.
35 years old. That's like a baby in a high chair to Tom Brady.
Yeah, for Brady and Rodgers, it is. I don't know if I'd put Tannehill in that category.
Hey. Listen, it's easy to say now, but if we go through this whole season where Tannehill is looking like 2020 Tannehill, I'm just saying.
Well, I'll say this.
You just don't know what's going to happen.
If he goes through this season and he looks like 2020 Tannehill, maybe you ought to consider it, because right now I'm looking around at the weapons that he has and wondering how he's going to complete a forward pass this year in the NFL.
Maybe a lot of self passes.
Well, could be. Could be. You know, I think that, I mean, the Titans have declared themselves here as to the way they're going. Like, Will Levis is going to be their guy as they move forward. The Willis part of it's interesting. Like, everybody, I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find anybody that believes that Malik Willis is going to be a starting quarterback at the NFL. But it is interesting to think about. Like, what happens if he comes in and he is significantly better? Like, even for backup, right? Like, is there a scenario where Tannehill could be the starter – Malik Willis could be the backup and Will Levis is third string this year. It'd be hard for me to see, but, I mean, they're going to let him compete coming up in training camp.
I mean, Vrabel said it. Tannehill's one, Willis two, Levis three. So, let's see. Just saying, we always want to not have an open mind and think we know how things are going to go. I was sure last year that at this point we'd be talking about this spring. Oh, let's see. Is Willis really ready to try to take that job from Tannehill? And right now we'd all laugh at that.
Michelle, do we have a winner on the text line? I see a lot of correct guesses. I just don't know if we have a winner.
I did not send it out yet because my text line is loading, but we will have one momentarily.
By the way, the answer was Sean Clifford as to who beat out Will Levis as the starting quarterback with Penn State. Sean Clifford, now Green Bay Packer.
So I was just going to say, who's about to beat out Jordan Love as the starting quarterback in Green Bay and be your guy. So there you go.
Yeah. We'll see what happens on that front. By the way, they got to make a decision today if they're picking up Jordan Love's fifth-year option. And there's some consideration.
Why wouldn't they?
I mean, the GM said it's a lot of money for a guy who hadn't played. That was his direct quote yesterday or Saturday.
Okay. Well, you must love Sean Clifford.
Okay. All right. Sean Clifford, QB of the future. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We'll have John Glennon at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that discussion as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
You know, obviously they made some plays. We had a hard time staying in front of them at the end of the day. I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! We'll get ready to play Tennessee. We're incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke!
Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl joining us.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad here on the program. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on Robbie and Rexroad. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Bruce Pearl appears to have recovered by making sure a whole bunch of money goes somewhere toward a former Vanderbilt basketball player to come play at Auburn.
Yes.
Bruce will be okay. Bruce figures it out.
He'll be fine.
Okay, before I get into this, I do have to read this text from Liam on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Okay?
Okay.
And then and my rant is about Titans fan reaction, so this kind of goes along with the theme. So here's Liam. Quote, 90 years ago today, a couple from Inverness, Scotland, returned home from a day trip to a local lake, claiming to have seen an enormous animal rolling and plunging on the surface. The imagination of the world caught fire, and the search for the Loch Ness Monster continues to this day. Despite millions of dollars in high-tech tools, there is no concrete evidence that Nessie is real or that the Titans will ever successfully figure out the wide receiver position, end quote.
Well done, Liam.
Outstanding, Liam. They did have A.J. Brown, but outstanding. So today, I want to talk about something. There's a lot of I think today is a great example. We're talking about the whole Levis start, cut Tannehill. Like, I don't really think that that's a strong consideration in the building. I don't think it should happen. I don't think it will happen. But it's a discussion. I mean, it's worth a discussion. Here's something that's not worth a discussion. I've seen way too much of it, like way too much of it. And like, I get it. Like, you have a new GM. And so you immediately, I mean, you're looking at the GM. He's a general manager, Rand Carthon. He is in charge of acquiring players. But what I have been stunned by is how many people who seem to think like he just come in the building and said, Vrabel, get me a coffee. I'll tell you who your players are going to be right now, buddy. You sit there and shut up. It's amazing. I mean, amazing. So, and again, like, sometimes it's like, okay, is this person serious or is this person trolling you? But I don't think this person is trolling. This person is a regular commenter, okay, on my stories at The Athletic. So I'm going to read a little bit of Michael S., okay? Basically saying, like, Rand Carthon, he starts with he's going to be a bad GM, awful answer to the presser. Look, there's some fair criticism of some of the stuff Carthon said at the presser, for sure. All this stuff, you know, should have gotten Jackson Smith and Jigman, all this stuff. And someone then commented and said he was chosen because Vrabel can control him. And I said, you know, that's silly. Vrabel's was gonna have a stronger voice, but you know, I mean, they're gonna work together and all this stuff. So this is what Michael S says. Okay, did you see Vrabel's reaction after drafting Will Levis? You think that's a reaction of a coach who just thinks they got their guy? Did you see his reaction last year after AJ Brown got traded? Do you think that's a reaction of someone who is heavily influencing decisions? I don't know how you get paid to write for the team and have these opinions. It's wild. If you actually believe Vrabel is heavily influencing these choices, he's doing an awful job at drafting a team, but they need to start relieving him of those duties. There's 0% chance you can get me to believe a head coach is okay with drafting the same positions year after year and taking risks on injured players. Dude, like, what? Yeah, Mike Vrabel, look, I personally think that there will be in the future, at some point, of course, there's going to be Rand Carthon thinks this, they got to go here, you're on the clock, and Vrabel's like, no, we got to go here, you're on the clock. Okay. Vrabel wins. I think that's the reality of the Titans.
Agreed.
But my God, even if you don't believe that, if you believe whatever, that Rand will have final say, or you believe that it's just 50-50 and they're just going to like do paper, rock, scissors and go, you can't possibly tell me you think that Vrabel is just divorced from this process. Yes, A.J. Brown, for sure. We can all agree on that. He wasn't happy about that. I mean, I think that's part of Vrabel having more say, and that's part of the collaboration talk over and over and over again. It's a huge mistake by John Robinson, a huge panic move, devastating move for the Titans.
Yes.
Okay. That's one example. Go back through all the other years, and I've heard different things on guys Vrabel liked more than Robinson, who they picked, by the way. I think Robinson absolutely gave Vrabel some leeway at times to be like, okay, who's your guy? He's the coach of the team. If you're a GM in this league who doesn't at least seriously take the input of your head coach, go away. You have no chance. I mean, the coach is coaching the players. So even if you're a GM who has final say clearly, like Robinson did, you have to take the input of the coach. And I think in some cases, you have to let the coach, okay, I like this guy better. You know what, Mike? You think that strongly about Isaiah Wilson? Let's take Isaiah Wilson. I mean, the idea now that this is like Rand just coming in the building and just get out of the way. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well,
Mike Vrabel, Levis is on Carthon and Vrabel. This draft is on Carthon and Vrabel. And a lot of the picks and mistakes that have already happened till now, you cannot at all tell me that Vrabel was sitting there like, please don't do it, John. No! Caleb Farley, no! Oh, and then Robinson was like, yeah, shut up! We're taking Caleb Farley. Hey, come on, guys.
Well, I don't know how, as you watch, let's just take a look at what's unfolded here. So John Robinson gets fired, and Mike Vrabel doesn't. He's hanging around. He's still the head coach of the team. And throughout the process of looking for the next general manager, Vrabel talks about being involved in that search. So Mike Vrabel is helping the Titans find out who their next general manager is going to be. And your idea from that is he walk away from it with no power and no say-so into the roster decisions after that? Like, I can't follow the logic there. I think we all know that Vrabel has as much say as anybody on the way that this roster is being constructed. And as much say as anybody on the selections that they're making. Now, you know, is it – I would also say the other way. Like, is it 100% what Mike Vrabel thinks and Rand Carthon is just GM in name only and he's over there off to the side? No, I don't believe that either. They're trying to make this a collaborative process. But this is absolutely – and I said this Monday. I said this yesterday. Like, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon have now tied themselves to Will Levis. And we can think about that whatever we want to think. But that's the fact of the matter. Like, if Will Levis works out and he's the quarterback of the future for the Titans and he's one of these guys that you can build around, then obviously Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon might be here for a while. If we get 3 or 4 years down the road and Will Levis isn't any good and he's a bust, that's probably going to cost Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon their job. Like, that's where they're at now with the Will Levis selection.
Right, and look, sometimes what happens is you get to a one pick that's especially bad or something, And it's like, okay, who really made the call? Or the other way, well, a pick that's really good. Okay, who had the brilliant idea? Who knew that Tyjae Spears was going to become the best back in the NFL, right, and that his knee was going to be just fine? Which one of you geniuses? You know what I mean? But right for now, I believe the collaboration. Like, I actually believe them. I take them at their word that it is collaboration. Yeah, I mean, the other commenter there was like, well, Vrabel just wants somebody he can control. I don't think that's true either.
Also,
Carthon's in here.
Like, what are we talking about with Vrabel's reaction to the Levis pick? I mean, you look pretty happy to me.
I get that. Yeah, well, someone on the text line's like, Vrabel isn't disappointed. He had a big old grin, as Caroline Fenton said. I mean, my main thing I saw from the reaction was his call with Levis. And yeah, I mean, all right. Hey, Will, yeah, it's Vrabel. Yeah, I guess you're our guy. Okay. All right.
Also,
we'll see you next week. Whatever, man.
Has a very just like kind of even keel face a lot. He's not just smiling ear to ear every second. And
except when he's in press conferences, he loves that.
when he sees Joe also, Rexrode.
Well, that's true. It lights up his whole life. Well, it's also, they did have the thing where they waved at the camera. Hey, you know, whatever that was.
I kind of did love that.
But yeah, the one time we have seen it, which is funny because I was like, I bet you the Titans tried to get that camera out of their room after last year. You saw the hand to the head, like, oh my God, walking away from the table when they traded AJ Brown. Now that was the proper reaction. I mean, Vrabel's presser after that was the exact same presser Vrabel has when he has an awful loss and has to grit his teeth and answer questions. The same exact thing. He was not disappointing the Levis pick.
No. By the way, Mike Vrabel coming up at 10:15 today on Chase and Michelle. So looking forward to that conversation with Chase and Michelle.
Yeah. And Michelle, actually, please ask him that. Like, did you actually have any input at all? Did Rand allow you to speak in the room?
Have you been consulted in this process?
Was there duct tape? Was there duct tape over your mouth?
Yeah, you took the duct tape off and the cameras went on. Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, the drafting of Will Levis, and what his outlook is for this team in 2023. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.